This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue-a-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws and monkey sounds in there and called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon!
Hey, happy Friday, a rainy Friday.
Womp, womp, womp.
Yeah,
it's pretty craptacular out there. I'm wearing pants.
Yeah, in August.
Yeah, don't like it.
I'm all right.
Gotta make it green somehow.
No, God.
Too early.
Yeah.
Too early.
It's in August.
Too early.
We're supposed to be in the 90s still.
It's going to heat up again next week, though.
I know. Yeah,
it is feeling very autumnal today, though. Yeah. Most definitely.
What'd you call me?
Autumnal.
Okay. Yeah, folly.
I'll allow it.
Yeah, I'm going to dumb that down. Feels folly right now.
It feels folly.
It does.
It feels very basic outside.
Ooh, that's a good one, too.
I think we can blame the season release of the pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah, that's
you know what? I feel like we know that Mother Nature knows it's 0 week of college football. Mm. Mother Nature was like, I know what this is. We got football starting.
Well,
meaningful
football.
You don't
need to do that because it always sucks in Ireland. The weather always sucks there. It's never good.
Jeff Rush just made my pants tight. Yeah, we get college foosball back. Mother Nature's excited for Delaware, Hawaii. That's what Mother Nature's on board with Montana State. New Mexico.
Do you want the temperature range in Ireland
right
highest,
now?
Highest and lowest ever.
The highest it's ever gotten in Ireland.
79.
Where are we talking? We talking Dublin.
This is actually in Dublin.
Where
it got the hottest.
98 degrees. Big Nick Lachey fans.
92.3.
92 Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit.
Okay. Celsius. That'd be really hot.
That'd be really hot.
33.5 Celsius.
33. That's it, huh? Mm-hmm. Now I see why they go by Celsius over there.
And their record cold is -2.4 Fahrenheit. Those were recorded in 1876 and 1881.
Oh, again, we've gone over this. I don't trust thermometers back then.
Well, I mean, they only worked one way.
The thermometer, don't trust it back then. Mm-mm. Nope.
But basically the entire year, it's between 55 and 65. That's just what it is there. It's 55 to 65.
No hot days.
No.
No hot days.
So as bland as the cuisine.
Yes.
Mother Nature knows 9 a.m. tomorrow, Florida State, Georgia Tech in Dublin, Montana State, New Mexico. Hey, I knew that one. In Albuquerque. SMU Nevada in Reno. Boy, that's a downgrade, Dallas to Reno. And then Delaware State at Hawaii.
Results for weather in Dublin, 63 degrees, 64% humidity, 15-mile-an-hour wind. And it's basically that for the next 10 days.
Think about that for Delaware State. We haven't talked about this.
Oof, that's...
That kick, first of all, they missed their bus on Tuesday. They didn't
their plane.
They didn't get there until yesterday afternoon.
And they've got a, what,
six-hour time difference.
Six-hour time difference.
It is a midnight kick, Eastern time zone, that they're going to kick that game off, actually, at 11:59 p.m.,
because I
East Coast time.
Take Hawaii straight up and take the under.
Yes. They are
screw the Gatorade on the sidelines. They've got a big old thermos full of Folgers.
Hawaii is now 40.5-point favorites. Could you imagine?
I'm not taking that cover.
You are a
care.
Delaware State fan, and okay, your kid plays for Delaware State, and you live in Delaware, and you're like, all right, first game of the year. Guess I gotta watch him.
At midnight.
At midnight, it's going to kick off. That's brutal. Tune in. And then on top of that, you got to find out where the hell it's on. I don't even know what channel that's
probably
on.
Probably streaming.
Yeah, it's probably watching that on Facebook. Didn't Oregon State play Hawaii on Facebook one year?
They did
I'm
try
pretty
to make
sure.
Not, like, college football tried to make Facebook a thing with broadcasting.
I mean, if you're going to do it on any platform, it should be Facebook, which started as a college social network. Yeah. Like, you had to have a college.edu to sign up.
It's actually still the most used and visited social media site on the planet, right?
Yeah.
Like, people want to downgrade
it's where the olds are.
The volume there, like the churn on Twitter and Instagram and Threads and WhatsApp and everything else is super high, whereas the user base is still steadily growing on Facebook. People like to pretend like, oh, Facebook's lame, I don't use it. And then you go see that they have a Facebook account and it's been updated regularly.
It's like, yeah. And hacked 25 times. Yeah. I'm going to try to figure out. I think it was Oregon State Hawaii on Facebook. B fans, you guys can chime in. I vaguely remember this a few years ago, but I believe it was Oregon State Hawaii on Facebook. It's a tough place to find a game. Yeah, that's how they get the signups there. I'm excited for college football though. I'm glad we got this little bit of weather. My wife is running Hood to Coast, not on Sprague's team.
Mm.
But
she's doing better than that.
I don't know about that. She caught me in another bind here.
Mm.
She caught me in another bind.
You gotta pick her up?
No, yesterday at right around this time, she texts me, hey, somebody just bailed on our friend's Hood to Coast team. Mm. Should I run? And of course, I'm team, yeah, go do it. And so she hasn't been training for the Hood to Coast.
Mm.
So she's just like, yep, gonna do it. We're figuring out the whole kid's situation. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Just go do it. I'm team yes. You want
to
go do it?
She has to be at least a frequent runner, right?
Well, what I do is I always give her a hard time because I'm like, what are you even training for? Mm. Like, you're not training for anything. What are you going on these death marches of runs?
So she can be ready for this.
And she's always like, you never know. You never know. Now, we know.
Mm.
We know.
So you can be called up. She's going to the pen.
And that's a tough one because this has been years of me being like, I mean, you're not really training for anything right now. Like, you don't have to run 8 miles. And she's like, well, you never know. You never know. I might want to, a half marathon might pop up. I want to do. I want to be in shape for it. Want to be ready for it. And now it is squarely in my face. Take that, hoser. And I will never ask her again, what are you training for? Because the you never know, it actually happened yesterday, and she's running the Hood to Coast, which I don't know if I ever want to be in shape where people ask me, do you want to run Hood to Coast? That doesn't seem fun to me.
Yeah, no, hard pass.
No, a hard pass. Hard pass.
I would like it to be, you think about me, but you go, nah. You know what I mean? Like, you think of me as like being somebody you could possibly go, and then you go, yeah, no, his hips and his knees, no, he just can't do that.
Danny, you are the last person I would ever think of to ask to run across the street, let alone from Mount Hood to the coast.
I will eventually get there to where I do it once.
Hood to coast?
Yeah.
And then you're going to be gone for a month after that.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna be out for a month.
Look, before all this stuff really piled up, I wanted, when I was in the Air Force, I wanted to do an Ironman.
Yeah, and
I was to the point where I was like, I think I could probably with a year of training, I could do this.
Oh yeah.
And then one injury after another piled up. But I again, I'm not looking to win anything.
Yeah. You just want to
just complete one Ironman.
Complete.
And right now, like losing the weight is
that's a mile swim, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Losing the weight is the big one. I'm actually not worried about the bike at all. The swim, I have always been a great swimmer. Like that, like that's just being in the shape to do it.
A mile is a long.
It's
way
a very
to swim.
No. It's a very long time. Like I've swam back and forth across rivers. Like I know what like a long swim really feels like. The run, it's quite literally like medically, can I do it?
Yeah, it's a marathon.
Can my joints physically handle that?
Yeah.
Like that's the only real question.
That's a wild part is they're like, yeah, the bike is your recovery time. It's like, you're going, how far do you bike? Like 50 miles 50, or something?
53 miles, I think. Yeah.
That's some recovery.
I've actually done that a couple times. Like that's the easy part. I'm not worried about that at all.
Yeah.
Like that's riding that's a bike. Doable.
You could do that, yeah. But the swimming a mile sounds like drowning. Yeah. And then running a marathon at the very end of it, they're like, yeah, you know what? We're going to just pile this one on the end.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do it. Yeah, that'd be cool, though, to do an Ironman.
Just do it. Again.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to finish in like
we're not trying to win it.
Time. I'm not trying to win my age bracket.
Yeah.
Just finish.
Get across.
Yeah. And I won't, Idaho is the one I've always had my eye on, the Coeur d'Alene.
Okay, yeah.
That one's the problem is the its elevation.
Elevation, and it's not flat there.
No.
Your run and your bike are going to be
but the same is true.
Uphill both
Hawaii's
ways.
Hawaii's like the hardest
mm-hmm.
because you're swimming in the ocean.
Yeah.
And it just pummels you. It's like you
heard that about the ocean.
Yeah, you're getting rip curls and yeah, no, hard pass. But yeah, yeah. I know how insane it sounds, but that has always been a bucket list thing for me.
Yeah. That'd be cool. Huh. That would be cool. I hope you get to experience that.
Probably not, but hey, dreams.
Goals.
There you go.
Goals, something to strive for. A hood to coast is more feasible.
Yeah, no, it's
there's levels to this.
Working our way up. Because if I can get through that without like my knee blowing out or my hip completely dislocating, it's like, oh, okay, no, this is possible.
Those seem very serious.
Yeah.
And that's one of the hood to coast is one though where you have so many other people relying on you
mm-hmm.
that if you go out on that first leg and it's like nope, not going to do it. You're going to have very upset people around you going, cool, now we all have to run an extra leg there.
No big deal. It's another 5 miles. What's the problem?
Yeah. Who cares?
Suck it
up. Who cares?
You all run.
Who cares? Get over that 20-mile threshold here in the Hood to Coast.
Whatever. It's just a mild marathon.
Yeah. Yeah. Who cares? Who cares? But to all the Hood Coasters out there, go ahead, run fast. Be safe.
Don't pull a hammy.
Especially when you get to like Scappoose and St. Helens, that Highway 30. Every year you hear something nasty happen. You get dinged or dead.
Yeah,
you hear about those sorts of things.
Somebody got killed last year, didn't they?
Yeah, it happens from time to time. Yeah. And unfortunately.
Feels like that's maybe a little too risky for a run. Does this benefit anyone?
Yeah.
Does the money go to a foundation or anything? Or
I would assume.
Like...
Or is this just,
do they make money?
Make no mistake about it, they make money. But I think that there's a charitable arm of this.
It doesn't just all go to Jim.
Yeah, it goes to
Providence Cancer Institute.
The Human Fund.
Is the charity of choice for the Hood and Portland to Coast Relay.
Oh, well, they're going to make a lot of money. Yeah, cure cancer, run Hood to Coast.
Okay.
That's pretty good. I mean, that's a good cause right there. You want to finish that?
Yeah.
On the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at vancouverford.com. Should get a 1080 The Fan team together, do a live broadcast of the whole event as they run. Van could have the equipment. One host runs while the other sits in the van. 24-hour broadcast.
That exists already, and it's usually premium content.
Wait, you're talking in the van? Uh-oh. I think that's how
fake taxi.
Somebody would get murdered on this station because people get grumpy.
Who kills who? I feel like it's Sook kills someone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he might kill you if you go down with a hip injury on the first leg, and then he has to run more.
Yeah.
It might be you. It might be you.
God.
I mean, the easy one there is he kills Swag, or Swag kills him, because they've had their tiffs in the past.
Yeah.
I don't know who's killing who. Rop may just kill himself in that situation. Actually, he would be like we would have like an exchange point where all the vans stop and everybody piles back in the vans and everybody's like, where's Rob? We look around for 20 minutes and we get a picture from an Uber and he's like, yeah, I'm out. I didn't want to do this and I don't want to do this, so I'm gone.
I was listening on the way home yesterday and they were talking about the Hood to Coast and Rob said basically he'd make it about 3 to 4 feet at a time before he's like, I'm out. Who's next?
That seems fair, too. Yeah. That sounds about right. He'd be one of the lockers.
Vancouver Vortex line. Rob has to pee too much, and Souk definitely kills Schultze.
Yeah, Souk killing Schultze, I don't... Somebody would have to man the board.
Yeah.
So I feel like for everybody's safety, we'd keep Schultze back here to run the board, you know? Oh, Ortner is a good one, too.
Yeah.
You know, he might just say something that makes people go aggro. And he, Matt, before we'd kill anybody, we'd just leave him on the side of the road.
Or fart box him in the van.
But that, again, that hurts everyone.
That does it.
That, yeah. Mm. Yes. Fart boxing is, everybody would be in there, and I would be probably the most upset about that. I am not a fan of car farters. Have some decorum. Especially when it's purposeful car farting, you know? Roll a window down, and because we could feel it coming. You could feel that fart coming down the barrel. You need to roll that window down.
That's where I pull the dad move, and I lock the other windows before I do it.
Well, that's a position of power, and that's a unique skill set, and I'm not above that either, yeah. Jeff. That's... If you are in control of the steering wheel and you can lock those windows, everybody likes their own flavor. Yeah. Nobody likes different flavors.
Everybody loves their own brand.
Yeah, man. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad we went down this road here. We've gone places, and we're going to go many more places. It is a Yacht Rock Friday. We'll have the Yacht Rock tunes to soothe your soul on this gloomy Friday afternoon.
Hell yeah, brother.
Friday also means we have coming up at 2:30 today. We have the round of 32 of our rivalry trophy challenge. And by the way, if you have not voted, we've got a vicious battle going on right now. And this is a big one. It's the Apple Cup is going up against one of our knockoff cannons, not the Fremont cannon. The Fremont cannon, rightfully so, will be moving on, I believe. But we've got, we have a dead heat going Indeed. On right now. We have dead heat Apple Cup in the Golden Cannon of Central Michigan and Western Michigan. It was at 50-50 at one point when I looked at it. The Golden Cannon has eked in front, 52.6% of the vote right now. You have got 3 minutes left to vote. 3 minutes. So time is of the essence if you want the Apple Cup to win.
It's tight.
At Danny Morang, at Danny and Dusty on Twitter as well. And then we'll unveil the new round and the rest of the winners from yesterday's round of 32. But it's a big battle we got going on. I mean, this is huge. Where we got to start this bad boy off, though? We had preseason week 3 football last night. Couple of games in action. One of them was not worth watching. The other, our worst fear may have come to fruition.
Oh.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Time. I think I might be selling my Anthony Richardson stock. Touching you. It wasn't good last night. What was that? What was that?
That was the dude that does the This Is Our Colts song.
That was he had a Bengals version?
Yeah.
Can I hear that?
I hate you.
This is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed blue. This is our Colts. Whether win or lose, we love them. For the shoe, beat the Bengals. Let's cook them and eat their stripes. This is our team. Go Colts.
Is that a Winnie?
Wow, there's an extra echo he added on the end.
Turned on the reverb at the end.
So he does the same song over and over again, just changes. It's This Is Our Colts, and this changes the opponent?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because here's the first one. You want the first one that we got?
God, I don't think I have a choice.
You're right.
This is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed blue. This is our Colts. Whether win or lose, we love them. For the shoe, beat the Broncos. Let's show them who the real horse is. This is our team. Go Colts!
There was something very unsettling about him saying, take their stripes and
eat them?
eat them? Yeah, cook them
cook
and
their,
eat
cook
them?
Their stripes and eat them?
Well, I mean, I think there's very unnerving things about this human in general.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the kind of person that puts that crazy out for everybody to see.
Right.
You should feel shame.
Well, I don't think
so. You should feel shame.
How many likes he got on that?
Way too many.
No idea.
What's the engagement he's got going on there?
Way too many.
I bet the engagement's very high on Colts Bro.
Look, Hitler had high engagement, okay? Engagement does not make it a good.
No, you're right. Not all engagement is positive engagement, but I think he's a... I'll just say...
Did you see the size of his crowds?
I'll say...
Big crowds.
A few steps removed from Hitler's this guy. I mean, I don't know him, but just I'm going to go ahead and say his cult songs are far more harmless. Don't think that that's an aggressive take there. Yeah, he's getting more and more dangerous every time I hear that name.
Yeah,
yeah, cooking and eating the stripes of a Bengal, I believe that gets you in prison. Nobody's eating tiger meat.
Don't they have a new Tiger King out, and he's like, they're doing a part of the dock is like here in Pendleton.
What?
Oh yeah, there's a new Tiger King coming out.
We got tigers here.
Probably a zoo, I would imagine.
I mean, there's the wildlife safari.
And that's in Winston.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hold kind on. Of the wrong direction.
All Google's here. Tiger King, Pendleton.
That seems very... that seems like a bad place to have tigers get loose is like the Pendleton area, because I feel like they'd thrive. I feel like that would be very bad if any tigers got loose there. Like, if it's in...
It's the new version of Tiger King. It's like the same people making another one. This one's called Chimp Crazy.
Oh, okay.
Rip your face off.
And your privates. There's a lot of people with chimps in Pendleton? This is all new to me.
I'm just shrugging.
I don't think they're...
The tagline here, listen to this. The grotesquerie of Chimp Crazy. If Tiger King was an addictive snack, then the filmmaker's latest docuseries is a meal to be chewed on.
Gross.
God, I hate people. I hate writers.
I don't feel good.
I genuinely
Yeah,
do.
That was very unsettling.
God, just stop.
What's our... okay.
The desire to be so trendy with...
I feel like I have more questions than answers now about this new... It takes place in Pendleton?
Like what? It has a whole episode in Pendleton.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That'd be a whole thing. Like, what if the chimps got loose during the Pendleton Roundup? That would be a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, they did, you know, wasn't at the Roundup. Was that at... St. Helens, where that bull got loose?
No, nope, Sisters. That Sisters. Would be Sisters, the Sisters Rodeo. Yeah. Bull got loose. That didn't end well.
Yeah, didn't that kill somebody? Didn't that kill anyone?
No, she didn't die.
She just really beat up because she got thrown 20 feet in the air?
Yeah.
Like a rag doll?
Mm-hmm. They're very strong animals.
Turns out 3,000 pounds of pure unadulterated muscle that you piss off and tase. Yeah, gets angry.
But now I got my brain is working like... If you had, like, chimpanzee bull riding, I mean, throw a little cowboy hat on it.
Little capuchin riding on the back, a little tiny, like, holding on to dental floss.
That'd be more of like a sheep. That's mutton busting.
Yeah, mutton
there.
Busting.
Yeah, you do the mutton busting with the little monkeys. What are they called?
Capuchins.
Capuchins. Yeah. I was going to butcher that, so yeah. I just let you take that
Those
one.
Those little cappuccino monkeys.
Yeah. That's for mutton busting. Yeah. But
no, I want to see him on the bull.
Yeah, you get me. I don't think you do. I don't think you do.
How high can a monkey go?
That would not be.
I don't think the monkey wants to ride the bull either.
Like, no. I'm out. But you got like chimpanzees are really strong.
Yeah.
If you could like train them. Put that arm up, go 8 seconds, let's see.
Core strength, man. They don't even need to put the arm up.
Yeah, man. All right. Anyways,
we'll
so
from that,
Chimpanzee Tiger King is coming out. And Pendleton has an episode.
Yeah.
Apparently, buckle up, folks.
Apparently it's a woman who lived with a chimp named Buck for 17 years. They professionally train chimps, I guess, out there.
His name's Buck? Is he... Produce an afternoon drive show on The Fan?
I mean,
Wow.
She recalls this woman.
That's a great name for a chimp, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
How you doing? This is my chimp Buck.
This woman recalls walking in on this woman to find her breastfeeding their infant daughter on one side and a baby chimp on the other.
Okay.
So it gets real weird.
Yeah. Now we're getting.
Congratulations, Pendleton.
I think I'm out now. How we got the Tiger King doc folks to be like, yeah, okay, we'll go out to Pendleton for this one. Goodness gracious. Well, Anthony Richardson next on The Fan. All right. I don't know how we got to the point we got to in the last segment.
They answered me.
But we got there. No, it was actually Rust with the Colts Guy song.
Mm.
That's what started it. And then, boy, did you finish that.
That was one of the biggest derailings I think we've ever had.
When I say I can't take you guys anywhere, I mean it. I mean it.
It's a source of pride.
I mean it.
It's a source of pride.
Can't take you guys anywhere. Anthony, it was worth it. Adjacent. Mm-hmm. But
until we got to the breastfeeding chimpanzees.
Yeah, it was a whole deal. And look, he saw it before. It went in one ear, out the other, but then he started reading that article, and I don't blame him for sharing that piece of news, because that was a question, is why Pendleton? Yeah, that's why. That's why. All right, Anthony Richardson last night, he played football for the Indianapolis Colts. It's week three of the preseason, which means no starters are really supposed to be playing. We got Russell Wilson is going to be playing because, I don't know, he hasn't been available for most of training camp with that calf muscle, and he's in a quarterback battle, believe it or not, with Justin Fields. And last night, Anthony Richardson of the Indianapolis Colts, he's coming off of an injury that kept him out of a majority of his rookie campaign. So getting him snaps and getting him on the field is important for Shane Steichen and company, and you can see why after last night. He finished the day 8 of 14, 86 yards, a touchdown, and interception. Doesn't seem that bad on the surface.
Go on.
He was both great and terrible at the same time, and this is why I'm selling the stock on him, though. The opening drive, he played five drives in the game. He started the game 7 of 8 on the opening drive, went 65 yards for a touchdown. I just read you his total stat line. He went 8 of 14 for 86 in five drives, which means the following drives, he went 1 of 6 with quite possibly one of the worst interceptions that I have seen in preseason. In four drives, just 1 of 6. And I'm including Daniel Jones's interception against Houston in this.
Which
I will do that.
Okay, here I had not seen it until just a few minutes ago when they ran it, and it was bad, but it looked more about how everything fell apart for him. Like he threw a fadeaway. And I don't mean like he threw a ball like over the receiver's shoulder. Like I mean he leaned back with no pressure and threw a fadeaway.
Which is to the spot of the field. He had a tight end running a stop route, and the tight end did exactly what he should do. He had inside leverage played by the defensive back. He spun outside, and that is quite possibly one of the most basic throws that you will see a quarterback have to make.
And the mechanics just completely broke down.
It broke down. He threw the ball inside, and it was a walk-in touchdown for the Bengals. Walk-in pick six. And Daniel Jones, I will say, at least he was being sacked and trying to throw it away. With Anthony Richardson, if you are feeling pressure in that moment and in that spot, and you are forced to fade away, you do not throw the ball to the middle of the field.
Is that not where you go with the ball?
That is not where you want to be throwing the football.
Whoops.
And if you do, you better miss outside where your receiver is running his route to.
He also looked at his receiver.
That's what makes it worse.
He wasn't mad at his receiver, but he definitely got crossed up because he looked at him and kind of gave him like the X, like, what? Wait, what? Like he thought something else was going to happen there. Now, I'm going to go ahead and go with something did happen there, but he screwed it up. Like when he got back to the sideline, I imagine he thought something.
But did you see the tight end? Because he threw his hands up like, what are you doing?
Yeah, like, whoa, dude, no, not there. So clearly something got crossed up. And it's one of those things where you hope that he would just brain farted.
Yeah.
Like you're just, and this isn't like a process of something as opposed to, he's young. He just hasn't had the reps. Cause this thing is like, didn't play a ton in college.
Nope.
So he doesn't have a ton of experience.
Nope.
And it's just one of those, hey dude, you can't get off the script there.
And on that is compounded with what we discussed yesterday as the Bengals were openly mocking him during their joint practice. And it was all three levels of their defense were chirping at Anthony Richardson. BJ Hall, the defensive tackle, said, throw the damn ball, bro. You had a linebacker with some criticism of him, which I don't remember what he said. And then you had a corner saying, is all he does run? Is that all you do? Is just run the ball?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to get him hurt again. He has flashes. In the 7 of 8, he looked really good on the opening drive. It's scripted. That is Shane Steichen's best shot.
Getting him good looks, but here.
That is if you're saying this is what we expect. You get what you expect. And after the first drive, all bets are off in the NFL, and you saw him go 1 for 6 after that. And that scares me if I'm a Colts fan.
And here's the thing. This is my... You hated Justin Fields. Why do you like Anthony Richardson? Because I never saw Justin Fields with the capacity to be as good as what Richardson showed on the first drive. Like, if it is controlled and if it is contained and if it does make sense for a guy with little experience, and you were talking about him developing, you saw a glimpse of what could be, right? But you also saw the other side of that coin of what could be if things don't work out. And this was the thought process on drafting him. It was a boom or bust. There was never, nobody thought Anthony Richardson would be an okay quarterback. No, he's like, he'll figure some stuff out and he'll be fine. It was, hey, this guy's going to be either really good and he's going to be a problem, or he's going to bust out of the NFL.
Yeah.
And that was the swing for it. And so I think that's, you're getting that dichotomy being presented of both sides of that. And losing so much of his rookie year, you're going to get those mistakes this year. I don't think you start freaking out about it until next year.
Right. Yeah.
But if you don't see the growth and you see more of what you saw in the second drive versus the first drive,
so bad.
Then it's problematic.
It can be very problematic for them. And the Fields did give us a few of those games. I mean, he did, where you would say, oh, a little flash. But it was the panic, the running, the lack of awareness. And that does scare me about Anthony Richardson. I hope he does succeed, but boy, it's kind of been a brutal preseason for him. But then again, it is only the preseason, and essentially you have another rookie quarterback on your hands.
Mm-hmm.
So growth and the opportunity to grow is going to be huge for him. He did connect with A.D. Mitchell, let him a little high on a crossing route, but he connected with his rookie. He tried to connect with Michael Pittman as much as he could. Feed your beasts, man, and get yourself in a good spot. But not a great day yesterday. The other game that was being played, I watched far too much of this game, was the Colts and the Bears, or the Chiefs and the Bears.
Mm. Why would you do
this? There was nobody to watch.
Yeah, so why would you do this?
No, nobody to watch. I don't know. I was bored. But
it's an acceptable answer.
Yeah, but you know what I learned in that game?
Hmm.
This is my big takeaway from Chiefs Bears. I learned that the name of Arrowhead is GEHA Stadium. It's GEH Stadium at Arrowhead. I thought it was like GEHA.
What is GEH?
I don't know. GEHA.
Oh, GHA?
GEHA.
I know what HGH is.
Yeah, GEHA. I don't know what it is. But they kept saying it over and over on the broadcast, and I was like, I'll be damned. I've been saying that wrong the whole time.
Yeah.
You know? That's a company I don't know.
No, not only that, it's you. Arrowhead's Arrowhead.
It's Arrowhead
Stadium. Mile high is mile high. Like, it doesn't matter what you
The Rose Garden's a Rose Garden.
Yeah, no.
No?
That one.
Mm-mm.
No, that one's gone. Lost.
That one's gone.
We lost that one.
Yeah. But it's like the L.A. Coliseum. It's United Airlines.
It's a Coliseum.
That is one, though, that they have not pushed to try to call it something different.
No. 100%. I mean,
like all the other ones are like, they try to push it and make the name change. Like it's worked with Moda. Like they beat it over our head and most people call it Moda Center now. But that one, they were like, yeah, we're not going to,
no,
we're not going to make sure we don't do this.
The big thing is the Coliseum has the Olympic ties. Sure. So you can't really, and it'll be 100 years old next year.
Yeah.
So.
That's right. Okay.
God, that place is old.
That is old. Yeah. I used to play Dodger games there.
It's built for the 28 Olympics.
And they're rebuilding it for the 28 Olympics, but it's the 2028 Olympics.
Kind of crazy to have the Olympics there 100 years later.
Yeah. Let's talk some college football. Nick Saban is in Dublin, Ireland. I mean, that's different. Not a place that I would imagine he would go. He seems like if he's leaving the country, he's going to the Amalfi Coast and not...
My favorite place on the planet.
Ireland.
I mean, who's to say he won't?
Yeah, but I feel like that he's just puttering around in one of those cigarette boats, or what do they have there? They don't have the cigarette boats. That's Miami. They got like the nice wood boats.
Yeah, the you know? Gondolas.
Nope.
No.
They're like
highly
motor,
polished. Like
They're like $1 million boats.
Yeah, they look like sailboats, and they are kind of.
Think George Clooney. Whatever George Clooney would be boating in that.
Oh, God.
Texan will get us. Yeah, Vancouver Ford Texan's got us on this one. But Nick Saban, he went on an old Pat McAfee show and talked about one of Pat McAfee's BFFs, head coach Dan Lanning of the Oregon Ducks. And what he had to say was pretty glowing and pretty telling of what he thinks of the Ducks head coach next on The Fan. 8 days away till the Oregon Ducks kick off the 2024 campaign against the Vandals of Idaho. I-D-A-H-O, Idaho, Idaho, go, go, go. Great champ. Second favorite champ. Number one champ, Grants Pass High School.
Mm.
Ooh, Hungawa, cavemen got the power.
That's pretty good.
That's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one, huh? Yeah. I'm a big chance guy. Look, I'm a big chance. You can get me going.
I played one for my wife this weekend because I said, hey, just be aware, starting in the morning, it's going to be really loud, and you're going to hear this a lot. And I played the war chant for Florida State.
Oh, Florida State, yeah.
And I was like, I played like somebody recorded like down on the field pregame, and it was just deafening.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And she was like, oh my God. I go, yeah, imagine 75,000 people doing that to start a game.
That'd be pretty sweet.
It's pretty loud.
Yep.
And I was like, that's why I knew college football was back, because I got that like in the chest giddy, like, this is fun. And then like little goosebumps.
Yeah.
75,000 people doing the war chant.
You get the tingles.
It's pretty rad.
You get a stadium doing anything except for the wave, and you can get me on board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can get me on board because the wave just means it's a blowout.
Yeah, but I mean, the war chant does hit.
It hits
different.
Yep, it hits different. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's super annoying if you're an opposing fan base, and it can be very annoying even if you're rooting for the team. But 100,000 people at Neyland Stadium singing Rocky Top.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool the first 80 times. And then the second quarter comes and you're like, all right, can we tone it down a little bit?
Penn State singing Mo Bamba.
Yeah, they do. They sing Mo Bamba. Or they do also on the wideouts, they do the
The Seven Nation Army, yeah.
College football is back and I love it. And I need more of it injected in my veins. Can't wait to see what the Irish folks have on tap for us tomorrow. Probably not a lot.
A lot of Guinness.
Mm. A lot. They'll have that on tap. Mm. They will have that on tap. What they'll also have is Nick Saban. He is in Dublin. He was in a pub with Pat McAfee on the Pat McAfee show. And as he was holding his mic up to his face, Nick Saban was like two hands, like a child. His voice didn't project loud enough for the mic to pick up. He was having a conversation with McAfee, and they brought up Dan Lanning at Oregon.
Texas, Oklahoma coming into the SEC. We got Oregon, Washington coming into the Big Ten. Oregon is expected to be able to just win the Big Ten. Texas potentially going to win the SEC. Whole new world for these people. What are their thoughts, you think, going in, the coaches?
Well, I think both those programs are, you know, Dan Lanning's a really good coach. He's
you like Dan? 37, right? 38 years old?
Yeah. Yeah, well, he was a GA for us.
Yeah, and then he told you to go to hell, and he won for Georgia.
Yeah. And I actually wanted to hire him. You know, my theory of having all these young guys on the staff, and developing them was to get him a job at Memphis State and then be able to rehire him. Well, when all like these guys started coaching, Kirby, Pruitt, Billy Napier, Mike Loxley, they all hire him before I could hire him.
That's so unbelievable.
Kind of blew up on him.
Yeah, your coaching tree is too successful, Nick. Your coaching tree got too successful. And when you talk about Dan Lanning at Alabama, remember, this was at a time where he was kind of in limbo. Like, he talks about this often in that he had a paying job at Sam Houston State and then took the leap and said, if I want to make it to the big time and I'm going to bet on myself, I'm going to gamble on myself. 2015, I think with two kids, he said, I'm going to take a job as a GA. And as he tells a story, like his wife said, well, it better work out for us. Think it has. It's done. He's done really well for himself. But he came to Alabama as a GA after being a position coach at Sam Houston State. And Saban is saying, I tried to keep him. I tried to hire him. And then he went off to Memphis, was, as he said, you know, go I get these guys, go to Memphis State, and then rehire him back. By that point, Kirby Smart had got the job at Georgia and said, I want you to be my defensive coordinator, because we remember who the defensive coordinator was at Alabama at the time. Tosh Lapoy, who is now the defensive coordinator for Dan Lanning at Oregon.
Weird.
And so everything being so cyclical, he wanted Lanning back, but he kind of saw that rising star of a coach in Lanning going to Georgia.
Hadn't done that path already.
Yeah. And that is one of the things where you hear the media hype around Dan Lanning, and people are like, what has Dan Lanning done? What has he proven as a head coach? This is why people in the media are so high on Lanning. Is one, his record is ridiculous in two seasons. But it's also because of guys like Nick Saban and Kirby Smart vouching for him.
Yeah, and that matters because they're... Those guys, they don't need to put their neck out for anybody.
No.
They don't. And when they do, it's because it's real.
And think of the three head coaches that he has worked for, under most recently, because he also had Todd Graham, which was Pitt, Arizona State.
Yeah.
Think of the three other guys that he has coached with. Mike Norvell at Florida State, which snubbed last year college football playoff in many people's eyes. Kirby Smart and Nick Saban. Those are the three head coaches that are all claiming him under their coaching tree. Okay? And that, when you have those three guys, though, that vouch for you, that's where the media is molding their perception of Dan Lanning.
Because what do they gain if he goes out there and flames out? Nothing.
Nothing.
So they're not just doing this just to do it.
They're gassing him up.
Yeah.
Because they're he's their guy.
Yeah.
He is their guy, and he has also been pretty damn successful reshaping how people think of Oregon as a recruiter, because Mario Cristobal, and again, we'll say it, Willie Taggart, laid that groundwork that, no, you can recruit at Oregon. And then Lanning has totally reshaped that as Oregon can be a national power in recruiting.
Taking the ball and run with it, so to speak.
And then... they have won a boatload of football games. Now, one thing that I didn't like about that is you asked this question yesterday. You said, you know, do you like the fact that people talk about Oregon as, you know, a contender? The one thing I didn't like about that was Pat McAfee when he said, you know, people think Oregon's just going to go walk into the Big Ten and win it. Now, I don't think that, because Ohio State is, again, one of the most talented, if not the most talented teams in all of the country on paper right now. They, in that October 12th game, is going to tell us whether or not they win the Big Ten. But they are one of the teams that is in that conversation of that caliber for a national title contender. And I don't know if you saw this, but you had Bill Connelly of ESPN. They did the tier rankings of college football teams, all 134, where the Ducks, Beavs, Cougs, and the Washington Huskies fit as they enter a new territory in the world of college football. That's how we start out number two. This is Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
This is fun.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.